हे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, जय राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी, राधे राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी, राधे जय श्री गौरांग जय श्री गौरांग जय श्री गौरांग श्री गौरांग जय श्री गौरांग जय श्री गौरांग, यो राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी, जय राधा मोहन ललिता देवी राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी, जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन गिरि गोवर्धन गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद, जय ओम विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 54 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द सैक्रिफाइस परफॉर्म्ड बाय दक्षा। त्रयाणाम एक भावानाम यो न पश्यति वैभिदाम सर्व भूतात्मनाम ब्रह्मन् स शान्तिम् अधिगच्छति। त्रयाणाम् एकभावानाम् यो न पश्यति वैभिदाम् सर्वभूतात्मनाम् ब्रह्मन् स शान्तिम् अधिगच्छति। त्रयाणाम् एकभावानाम् यो न पश्यति वैभिदाम् सर्वभूतात्मनाम् ब्रह्मन् स शान्तिम् अधिगच्छति। त्रयानामेक भावाना यो न पश्यति वैभिदा सर्वभूतात्मनां ब्रह्मन् सशांतिम अधिगच्छति। त्रयानामेक भावाना यो न पश्यति वैभिदां सर्वभूतात्मनां ब्रह्मन् सशांतिम अधिगच्छति। त्रयानामेक भावाना यो न पश्यति वैभिदां सर्वभूतात्मनां ब्रह्मन् सशांतिम अधिगच्छति। माताजी, त्रयानामेक भावाना यो न पश्यति वैभिदां सर्वभूतात्मनां ब्रह्मन् सशांतिम अधिगच्छति। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। त्रयानाम ऑफ द थ्री, एक भावानाम हैविंग वन नेचर, यह हु न न पश्यति डज नॉट सी, वै सर्टनली विदाम सेपरेटनेस, सर्वभूत आत्मनाम ऑफ द सुपर सोल ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज, ब्रह्मन ओ दक्ष सह ही शांतिम पीस अधिगच्छति रियलाइजेस। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। द लॉर्ड कंटिन्यूड, वन हु डज नॉट कंसिडर ब्रह्मा विष्णु शिवा और द लिविंग एंटिटीज इन जनरल टू बी सेपरेट फ्रॉम द सुप्रीम एंड हु नोज ब्रह्मन एक्चुअली रियलाइजेस पीस, अदर्स टू नॉट। पर्पट, two words are very significant in this verse. Trayanam indicates three, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Bhidam means different. They are three and therefore they are separate, but at the same time they are one. This is the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, which is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The example given in the Brahma Samhita is that milk and yogurt are simultaneously one and different. Both are milk, but the yogurt has become changed. In order to achieve real peace, one should see everything and every living entity, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, as non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. Every one of us is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This accounts for unity in diversity. There are diverse manifestations, but at the same time, they are one in Vishnu. Everything is an expansion of Vishnu's energy. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वां सञ्जीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखानितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So we are reading this section of the fourth canto, the first part of the fourth canto, and this is like the last chapter in the last section, actually, after which, and in fact this is the last verse that the Lord is speaking, and after which Maitreya Rishi, he will sort of summarize what happens after Lord Vishnu leaves and gives a benediction to everybody who hears this pastime, at how their material contamination will be completely gone. So in the previous chapter, all the demigods and members who participated, they in the yagya, they approach Lord Shiva because him and his associates, they have destroyed the entire paraphernalia and the setup of the sacrifice. And then by the prayers of all the demigods and Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva is pacified. And then in this chapter we saw that how Lord Shiva is pacified and Daksha and other demigods, they are restored of all the damage that was done in the cause of the conflict. And then Lord Vishnu, and then again the sacrifice begins, and then Lord Vishnu appears. Then Lord Vishnu is glorified, and then Lord Vishnu starts now addressing all the demigods. And this is, I think, the third or the fourth verse, after which Lord Vishnu is, in which the Lord Vishnu is instructing all the demigods. And then over here, because Lord Shiva has been insulted, so over here Lord Vishnu is stressing that how it is not proper to see the difference in Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu and Shiva, and how they are nothing but, you know, the different manifestations of Lord's energy, actually. And in fact, Lord Shiva is, I mean, he's not even a jiva tattva, actually. He is a separated part of the Lord who has touched the material energy, actually, and that's why he is Lord Shiva. And in the, so as the practitioners of the highest philosophy, we need to understand this, and this is philosophy, and this is like, you know, Prabhupada explains this philosophy is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, and this is like, you know, many times this philosophy becomes the most undefeatable philosophy that devotees of ISKCON have, because there are two things, you know, there are two Vedas. If it's a philosophical conflict, we say it's Achintya Veda Ved, and if it's pastime conflict, then we say it is Kalpa Ved. So these two are like our deterrents, actually, for escaping practically any philosophical, you know, trouble that we may get into. So anyways, but over here, this is, philosophy is very important, because, you know, so the how it evolves is like, Lord Brahma, so the followers of the Vedic religion, they divert and they misuse the Vedic religion and start doing mass killing. As part of that, Lord Buddha comes, he restores the Vedic religion and drives away all the Buddhists out of the country in that great debate between Mandan Mishra and then his wife. Some say it is Mandan Mishra and his wife are none other than Lord Brahma and Saraswati. Of course, then they come back to the fold of Vedic religion and become the most prominent disciples of Shankaracharya at that time. And then to defeat the philosophy of Shankara, we have Sripad Ramanujacharya and Sripad Madhvacharya, consequently establish, defeat the Advaita, establish Vishishta Advaita and then Shuddha Advaita. So this has been a conflict which is there all across since time immemorial, whether Lord is a person or is he impersonal. And in the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this whole conflict or this whole confusion is brought to a very nice conclusion. Because sometimes people fight, as to who is supreme and whether impersonal or personal. But in the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reconciles the whole scope of Vedic understanding. And how it is explained that, the absolute truth is in three phases. It is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. This is the understanding of the Bhagavad school. And in through this philosophy, the highest principles are established. But of course, we see when people fail to understand this, it creates such a conflict, right? When Lord Nityananda Prabhu traveled to South India, he saw the followers of Lord Vishnu and followers of Lord Shiva, they were fighting. He just smiled and went away from there. And such strong are the differences, it is said that in one of the Kumbh Melas which happened in the early 19th century in Nasik, this difference between Lord Shiva's followers and Lord Vishnu's followers was so strong that there was a great fight and 12,000 sadhus killed each other. So it is so important to understand and reconcile this philosophical conflict actually. And by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this philosophy is very nicely reconciled as to how Lord is neither person nor... He is a person but with an aspect of impersonalism, impersonal aspect also. And that is through his energies actually. Materialistic people always get confused with this aspect actually, how it can be simultaneously one and different. Either it can be, because they are used to the binary world of one and zero. Either it can be zero or it can be one. But they cannot reconcile this contradictory things coming together in the same aspect. So, of course, it is because of their dull-headedness that this philosophy is difficult for them to understand. So, but for the true follower of Vedic religion, he can very easily and very nicely reconcile. And that is why we see that, the true followers of Vedic religion see the divinity in all, right? So over here, actually there are two issues at hand over here actually. One is that people tend to not see any connection with the Supreme Absolute Truth. And this promotes materialism. This gives rise to materialism where they think that everything that is has come about with a big bang actually. Or some scientific theory which is just based on assumptions. And because they think this is nothing but a chemical reaction, so they don't mind exploiting it also. there is a tendency to exploit and control, because ultimately it's a dead entity, it's not nothing living actually. We see, and this philosophy is so widely misused. People, on the basis of this philosophy that there is no consciousness, for a very long time, women were exploited actually, because they were told they don't have soul. And animals were exploited because they did not have soul. And also the child in the womb is very easily aborted because there is no life in that child. So this philosophy of not connecting the things and not connecting, because they don't see the supreme consciousness, they don't see the local consciousness also which is there, which is an expansion of that supreme consciousness. And this is like the mentality of Ravana, Hiranyakashipu actually, which is represented by modern day materialist. And they behave with Mother Nature also in such a manner that as if it is a dead entity, because they cannot see the connection actually. So, and because they don't see the connection, they don't feel any guilt also in doing what they are doing. His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj gives a very nice example for in order to explain the concept of, you know, organic farming or eco-friendly farming or farming which is more respectable way of dealing with Mother Nature actually. It's not just a technique of growing good quality food, but it's a consciousness that you are dealing with Mother Nature, and because she is your mother, you deal with her accordingly actually. So he was giving an example of a fund collector actually. So if as a fund collector, if somebody is going to a rich man and he's explaining the project to the rich man, and in the course he catches his neck and pulls the money out, what do you expect the person to how do you expect the person to react? We cannot expect the person to react in a very sober manner, right? The person will also tend to fight back, he will also tend to push back what is happening. So he said chemical farming is that type of farming where you are trying to catch hold of the collar of Mother Earth and forcefully try to bring out what would otherwise come in 10 years in 2 years actually. But in the same way, if the Mother Earth is, if the person goes and very respectfully explains the project and based on the merit of the project requests for help from the rich man, then the chances are that the person will be much more convinced and he will give, you know, maybe more amount than the person would have forcibly taken out. So similarly, Mother Nature also, because she is not a dead entity but a living consciousness, living person who is nothing but, who is no one but the consort of the Lord, she is, you know, she will behave with us the way we behave with her. And if we behave very respectfully, you know, by using the gifts that she has given in terms of cow dung, cow urine, then we will also get the benefit of her opulences. And we see, you know, at one point in time, India alone, it is said, had 125,000 different varieties of rice. There were 7,000 different varieties of apples, hundreds of different varieties of mangoes. When we were planting, there was one person in Gujarat, he had around 500 different varieties of mangoes, which he had, you know, collected from all across. So when we deal respectfully with Mother Nature, she has so much abundance to give. But this same philosophy, when it's disconnected, it promotes materialism and it defeats the whole purpose. So this is one end of the spectrum. Another end is people see the connection but they think that that connection is impersonal. That is also another way of covered materialism, but with a tinge of mode of goodness in it. They say that, yeah, there is some higher power, some consciousness, some force, some energy, some light. But do not accept the personality behind that energy, the energetic behind that. And Srila Prabhupada says, this particular aspect of considering that that energy as impersonal, and thus considering energy as whole in whole and considering it as impersonal. And with that, they promote the desire of becoming one with that so that they also can be the part of enjoying this or controlling this entire cosmic manifestation through that. So that's, and then Srila Prabhupada says this is like the last snare of Maya. You know, it is like covered materialism. So one time Srila Prabhupada was in a discussion with Indian professors. This is in 1976 in Washington, July. And Srila Rupanuga Prabhu is also is there. And Srila Prabhupada is, Rupanuga Prabhu says that, you know, they claim that, you know, they deny the presence of God because they say all across the Vedas, there is no mention of Krishna. You know, there is some mention here and there, but all across, otherwise there is not much mention. And then Prabhupada immediately refutes that. You know, he quotes 15.15 Vedescha Sarver Ahameva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. Right? He says, if, you know, if you have not understood Krishna by reading the Vedas, that means you have not read the Vedas only properly. So Srila Prabhupada, through this very simple, you know, they go through all the scriptures, but because they don't read it with a proper consciousness. You know, last year we had an opportunity to meet one very, you know, this particular person is very famous and, you know, for his interpretations and very powerful spiritual speaker, so-called. But then, in the course of our discussion with him, I was there and Nimai Leela Prabhu was there. You know, he started criticizing his own guru. First he said, yeah, my guru is great. But then when he wanted to discuss a little bit more, he said, yeah, but my guru has also not explored this so much. Actually, it is me only who has explored this whole thing. And in his promotion of what he is speaking, you know, and all the literature, they write that all these literatures were written in the Brahma Muhurta, the time of maximum goodness. But the time of maximum goodness, because it has come from improper, you know, background or improper surrender, there is no seed of surrender, you know, it has created such pride in this person. Of course, he is Mayavadi and his guru is also Mayavadi. But then he is not even a genuine Mayavadi, he himself is like, you know, criticizing and you know, demeaning his own spiritual master. So, so Srila Prabhupada in one of the letters regarding when one devotee was deviating, he says that Maya attacks in four stages. He says the first, he says the person becomes a protagonist of religion. That means he wants to try to come to the mode of goodness. And then he says he tries to improve his economic development. And then he says he wants to enjoy sense enjoyment. And finally, Prabhupada says last snare of Maya is when he wants to become one with the Supreme. He wants to become, be an impersonalist. And he says this last attack is very serious and very fatal actually. A lot of people, they become a victim of this particular philosophy because they see that. And that is why it is sometimes so difficult for devotees to preach. Because in our philosophy, the whole concept is you become a servant. And there, the whole philosophy is that you become master. So naturally, this philosophy seems to be more difficult to sell. But they don't understand that this is nothing but a spiritual suicide. Their attempts to become one with the Supreme is nothing but a spiritual suicide. They'll be killing their whole independence, their whole variegatedness that is there at hand for them to, you know, enjoy in service to the Lord. So we are actually very fortunate in that sense to have this philosophy where we understand, you know, very, very objectively and subjectively, you know, what is personalism, what is impersonalism, and we can reconcile the both actually. Srila Prabhupada, he was just yesterday during dressing, we heard Srila Prabhupada. He says, you know, he was explaining sunlight entering the room. He says, sunlight has entered a room does not mean sun has entered. But through his energy, definitely the sun has entered the room, actually. You know, through this very simple philosophy, Srila Prabhupada so nicely reconciles this whole thing. So, even in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is playing and suddenly he goes out and sits. So, Mother Sachi, she is giving her a plate of sandesh. Instead of eating it immediately, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes out, sits on a pile of dirt and starts eating the dirt. After some time, Mother Sachi comes finding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and she sees that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eating dirt. So immediately she chastises, "Yeah, I am giving you a plate of sandesh and you are eating dirt. What is the problem with you?" Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks this philosophy. Yes, you know, what is the difference? You know, this is, you know, your sandesh is nothing but mud transformed into milk. You know, mud, from mud comes grass. Grass is eaten by cow. Cow give milk. So what is the difference? I am eating mud, I am eating sandesh. There is no difference. But then Lord Sachi Mata, she is a Vaishnava mother. So immediately she reprimands Mahaprabhu and says, "From where have you learned this philosophy? If you eat mud, you will fall sick. If you eat sandesh, your body will be nourished." So through this simple philosophy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood and he said to the mother, "Why didn't you tell me this before? I will never eat dirt again." So, one time Srila Prabhupada is in Krishna Balaram temple and then he is giving a class and he says, "Lord is..." So the we have seen Krishna Balaram, you know, Krishna is black, Balaram ji is white, and the floor of Krishna Balaram is also black and white actually. He says, "Lord is over here, Lord is black and white, and the floor is black and white. But one we are worshipping and one we are stepping on. So there is a difference, although both are black and white, but one is a worshipable black and white, and another is a floor on which we are keeping our feet." So one time His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj was coming from Nairobi and he had a transit flight in Dubai. So he was sitting and chanting. And so a Muslim officer, after watching Maharaj for a long time, a Muslim officer called Maharaj and he said, "I want to talk to you." He sent his servant. And so this person, he said, "You are Hindu?" So Maharaj said, "Yes, I am Hindu." So he says, "I have heard Hindus worship stone." So Maharaj said, "No, what you have heard is wrong. I am a Hindu. I am telling you, I don't worship stone." He said, "If I was worshipping stone, then with my shoes I am walking on the stone which is laid on your airport. So where am I worshipping? I am, you know, putting my feet on it. So if something I am worshipping, why will I put my feet on it?" So he said, "Acha." So this man got a shock of his life that, you know, somebody speaking like this. Because in general, Hindus also don't have much, you know, there is a section of impersonalists who discard whole deity worship as idolatry because they don't have a proper understanding. So then as they were discussing, somehow this person's time came for namaz and he went for his namaz. After some time he came back, Maharaj was chanting all the while. And then he asked, so then Maharaj asked him, so he said, "What did you do now?" He said, "I offered my prayers." He says, "To whom did you offer your prayers?" He said, "I offered my prayers to Allah." So he said, "So do you think he has heard these prayers?" He said, "Yes, of course he has heard these prayers." So he said, "How do you think he has heard his prayers? How do you think he has heard your prayers?" So then this person knew that now he is in a checkmate position. So he says, he must have had ears. So he has. So he says, do you believe that he has ears? So now, because he has himself said that, you know, he has heard my prayers, this person was forced to accept. And yes, Allah has ears. So he has. He says, he only has ears. He does not have eyes. Is your Lord blind? He does not have mouth, is he dumb? So then this person understood the point that Maharaj was deriving, and immediately he said, yes, yes, now I understand that how Allah has, or the Supreme Lord has, ears, eyes, face. But then Maharaj explained to him that how he does not have a material ear, a material eyes, a material nose, a material face, a material body. He has a spiritual body which is beyond the three modes. And this person was so impressed that he gifted Maharaj a watch worth $50 as a gift. Because he asked Maharaj, he says, you are a, I forget the word, you know, some sort of religious man. So he asked, are you an imam? Yes, he asked, are you an imam? So Maharaj said, yes, I am an imam in Hinduism. So then he says, and you don't have a watch? So then Maharaj was joking. Apna to bole 24 ghanta hari naam lena hai, bole 5 baar thodi namaz padna hai. So then he said, apne ko koi time ka jarurat nahi. You know, we don't need any track of time. Whenever we are supposed to, any time we get, we are supposed to chant Hare Naam Eva Kevalam. But then he said, his conception was different. He thought imam needs a watch because he has to do namaz 5 times a day. So then with that in mind, he gifted Maharaj this watch. But Maharaj nailed down this understanding that how Supreme Personality of Godhead is not impersonal, but he is a person actually. So the interesting thing is that, you know, because Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he makes this dull matter so attractive that people get entangled in this dull matter and cannot understand the supremacy of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains that somebody who has a spiritual vision, for him there is nothing material. But somebody who has a material vision, they cannot have any perception of the spirituality. And hence, in the followers of Vedic religion, they are taught to see divinity in everything actually. Just like Krishna is explaining his vibhutis in the 10th chapter. And through that, we are taught to see divinity all across in all that be. So Krishna says, I am the taste of water. You know, so, you know, as and when we are drinking water, we can remember what is the source and what is the taste coming from. As and when we see the sun and the moon, we know they are like the eyes of the Lord. As and when we see the rivers, we know that they are like the nervous system. So through this, we are taught to see divinity and actually, we are taught to see divinity. We are not taught that, you know, this is not the Supreme Person, but the energy of the Supreme Person actually. Sometimes Hinduism or the followers of the Vedic religion, they are criticized for this. You know, everything you think you worship as God. But then they don't know this whole concept of energy and energetic. You know, we respect the energy and worship the energetic. So, and this culture of respect is so strongly imbibed that, you know, in the story of Srila Sanatana Goswami in the past time, you know, when Sanatana Goswami he wants to skip the court of Nawab Hussain Shah, and he stays at home and is just busy discussing Bhagavatam with all the Brahmanas. You know, at that time, suddenly Nawab comes to know that, you know, Sanatana Goswami is alright, but he is not coming because he is discussing Bhagavatam with all the Brahmanas. So the Nawab Hussain Shah is himself coming. And when he comes, it is explained how all the Brahmanas, in respect, they stand up. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains that actually these are Brahmanas discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So why should they get up when a meat eater, you know, king of the common world, he is coming? So Srila Prabhupada explains that king is nobody but a representative of Lord Vishnu. And thinking this in mind, giving that respect that this person who has come, he is representing an aspect of Lord Vishnu's energy, the Brahmanas got up actually. So the point is that when we see this connection, then we can be grateful for what we have. The culture of gratitude is developed. Because otherwise, if we don't see the connection, then an exploitative tendency comes in. And if we see the connection, then this whole culture of gratitude is developed. And this through the culture of gratitude, you know, it even in a mundane sense, it would bring a lot of, you know, ecological balance, a society and an entire balance in the society actually. So, what is important over here is that we understand the importance of this connection. And to keep this connection, we need to keep our Krishna consciousness on actually. Because only when we see everything as energy of the Lord, we can properly utilize it in the service of the Lord. So, this is what I had to say from this verse. And in conclusion of this section, because this is like the last section, we see that Daksha in this pastime, that how, you know, a person, he can find fault even in somebody like Lord Shiva. What to speak of Lord Shiva, even Lord, in the 10th canto, Shamantakmani pastime, even Lord Krishna is not spared. So this tendency of fault finding is so great that we can find faults in the greatest of all actually. So we should be very aware of this tendency, and we should try to, because this tendency is bigger than the fault itself actually. So we should be very careful and understand the dangers of envy and fault finding. Because as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that this can lead us to elephant offense, you know, mad elephant offense. That it can uproot our Krishna consciousness completely. And to avoid this offense, we need to ask ourselves always this thing of ISKCON. Meaning, is our Krishna consciousness on? As soon as we switch it off, then we'll start making offenses. So, this is what I had to say from this. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.